right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight. We have a national champion in college football, the Alabama Crimson Tide under Nick Saban with their fourth title in 7 years in just an amazing run here. The program that Nick Saban put in place, one of the best in traditionally in history of college football, but Nick Saban taking it a whole different spot right now. And does not look to be changing that anytime soon. NFL football, we get the divisional playoffs this weekend. We'll have all four games here for you on WGCL. We'll give you more information on that here in just a little while. But before we go there, the Indiana Hoosiers have the week off until Saturday. Is it Saturday or Sunday? It is Saturday.
Saturday, 12:30 on the Big Ten Network.
12:30, there you go, against Minnesota up there at the Barn, a place that the Hoosiers have not played well over the years, to say the least. I can remember a 50-point loss up there under one red-sweatered man. That was a painful one, though, I'll tell you that right now. But the Hoosiers on a winning streak here and coming off a great performance against Ohio State at the Assembly Hall this past Sunday, 85-60 victors. Hard to say whether that is something that will be taken forward or whether that was one great day and hopefully some positives you take out of it. But we'll find out, I think, a little bit this weekend, although this is not a particularly good Minnesota team right now. You could almost make more arguments that there are a very sure bottom three that stand out above all others than there are a top three at this moment in the Big Ten.
Minnesota's been raked over the coals, and they were again last night, 84-59 in Lincoln. Nebraska, yeah, they've played a little bit better. Nebraska also raked Rutgers by about 30 the last time they played. That was in Rutgers as well, so maybe Nebraska's found some things after their tough start to the season. They're now 2-3 in league play, but Minnesota, Dave, is 6-11. 0-5, and yeah, that's kind of tough. They lost a bunch of backcourt players last year, guys that have been there a long time. And when you've got to replace leaders, when you've got to replace experienced guys handling the basketball, that's not always the best recipe moving forward. So the Gophers, again, it's a game Indiana has to win because those are games, Dave, you get no points for winning, but you get a ton of check marks in the wrong column when you lose them.
Yep.
Because Indiana's win over Wisconsin, you and I have been trading emails about that for the last couple days or the last day or this morning. Wisconsin was 9-7 Indiana made them 9-7 last Tuesday. They're now 9-9, 1-4 in the league.
Lost that Northwestern, who's having a nice year, but this is a team in the North that they've taken care of in the past.
But beating Wisconsin at home and beating Minnesota on the road are things you have to do because those are check marks in the wrong column moving forward if you're looking for NCAA tournament. And maybe that's not the issue, Dave, because the Indiana schedule looks like that's going to be not an issue this year. But when you look at seeding, you can't do anything about your conference except win those games. So they might not be the greatest. They might not be this or that. You've beaten Wisconsin at home. Move on. Next game. That's why you can't sit back and dwell on these things. It has to be forward. Mm-hmm. Indiana's next vision, Indiana's next thing has to be, what are we doing in the first 4 minutes at Minnesota to the first TV timeout? That's as far in the future, I think, as this team can look forward, because we really haven't seen any complete performances that you can go back and say, hey, those 40 minutes, they were really good against Ohio State at times. They were great at times. They're exceptional at times. But that can't be the satisfaction point. The point has to be winning at Minnesota. And I don't care if it's by a point, and I don't care if it's by 30 points.
Well,
the next step is winning the next game, and that's all this team can do right now.
333-2665 is our phone number. You brought it up. I don't know that you meant it exactly this way. I know what you meant. You want to concentrate on starting at Minnesota because that's the next 4 minutes you play.
Hard.
But interestingly, it was also possibly the best 4 minutes you played of the game against Ohio State, and that is you came out and started a 10-point lead, 10-0 at that point in time. And the key there is the mentality coming out of the locker room and onto the floor on both sides or both ends of the court, if you will, all over the court. If this team can bring that for, let's be fair, 30 to 35 minutes, because nobody plays 40 full minutes of basketball
very often.
Not
when you're blowing somebody out.
No, exactly. But you get it out there early. You get it out there early. You set a tone, and all of your you've seen this team. When it's going well for this team, the confidence just soars. They start making shots. They look great. They even defend a little bit. If they start every game like that, then you can only look for better things to happen down
you
the road.
You can. And in that game against Ohio State, remember, Ohio State's first five or six shots were all at the basket. They didn't go in. But what the issue was is Indiana didn't give up a lot of cheap rebounds. They didn't give up any second chance points in that spurt.
And they made those shots hard.
They were in the game. They were after it. They weren't getting beat backdoor for wide open layups.
Exactly.
They weren't getting caught on switches or not sure what defense they were in. They were in it. They were active. And that has to be the next 4 minutes. And then at the first TV timeout at the Barn on Saturday, the next 4 minutes have to be a very similar production to what you saw in the first half. Now, obviously, Minnesota, just like Indiana, is going to practice all week. Minnesota is coming off an embarrassing loss again.
Big time, yeah.
How do they react at home? Well, I tell you what, most teams at home are going to play better than they will on the road.
Sure.
So that's something that Minnesota was embarrassed Saturday when Northwestern beat them by about 30 on their home court. This is a team that is playing some poor basketball right now. And now you hang a ranking on Indiana. I don't care if it's 25 or receiving vote, whatever it is. Put yourself in Richard Pitino's shoes. Your team is dying right now. You're on life support. You're 0-5 in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have their schedule in front of me. I don't even care what's next for them. This is a scalp to get their season turned around in the right direction. And for Indiana, it's exactly the opposite. These kids read the newspapers. Well, probably not. They read what's online. They see 0-5 next to Minnesota's game, Dave. And you and I as a fan say, geez, what are you talking about? This is the easiest win of the season. No, it's not. Because these kids practice. These kids have been embarrassed. They have pride, just like everybody else does. And at home, after two bad games in 5 days or 4 days or whatever they stunk it up in, they are going to either be a changed club or Indiana will be up 28-2 in the first 10 minutes, and we don't worry about Minnesota. We've got to worry about Indiana.
Minnesota has lost 6 straight, 9 of 10.
That's awful.
Since they won against Clemson in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, that includes losses to both of the states of South Dakota teams.
Yes, they did. I believe
both
in the
of
same
which
week,
in
it?
Minnesota, yeah, back to back in Minnesota,
yes.
A tight one against Oklahoma State, and then they lost to Milwaukee, who's having nice seasons.
Bad year,
got a couple on there, including Wisconsin, but 0-6 to start the Big Ten, as you mentioned, and a couple major blowout wins here. We saw with Nebraska also why you have to be careful about this Minnesota game, and that is Nebraska came off an ugly, ugly game. The game before Indiana came home. I believe that first game was on the road for them. They came home and said, you know what, we got to get things righted, and we got to get it righted now. And actually, that game against Northwestern
was at home. But they led. Nebraska led for 36 minutes in that game before they couldn't score the final four.
They had that next home game at home. They were irritated about it. They played hard. They played chippy. They played irritated. Indiana didn't take the bait, so credit to them. But what you saw there is you saw the team that had their backs up against the wall from the standpoint of the coaching staff made them believe that. And that's all that really matters.
Yep.
The coaching staff has to get them to believe that. And when you're 0-5 in the Big Ten and has lost 9 out of 10, it's not real hard for Richard Pitino to get these guys to believe that their back's against the wall.
Good teams will show up in Minnesota and out-talent the Gophers and hope to hang on. Teams that aspire to be great and win the league will go out in the first 10 to 12 minutes of that game,
crush
play
right
exactly
away.
The way they did against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Maybe not keep them scoreless for the first
30
time.
At halftime. Let's be
have,
realistic
it's not going to be 30 at halftime. It hadn't happened in 20 years. Why is it going to happen back-to-back games?
Right.
But Indiana has the ability to knock down open shots. They have the ability to get after it. But they always have the ability, Dave, whether they've got the team is ill, whether they've got James Blackman Jr. out, whether Thomas Bryant was in a walking boot earlier in the year, you have to play hard. That has to travel. There is no excuse why that team. You can't say it's the Barn. You never play well there. You can't say it's really cold in Minnesota. It's freezing here. You can't have any excuses if you're going to be a great team. Good teams will make excuses until they figure out how not to make them anymore. Win the basketball game. Do it your way. And Indiana will be alone on the top of the table in the Big Ten because they've played an extra game,
that's right.
And that's a fact.
It's another road game in the Big Ten. It's against a team you need to beat.
They're in first place today, Wednesday, January 13th, 4-0.
We'll see how they react.
333-2665
is our phone number. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Quick programming note, we got high school basketball Friday night. Edgewood is at Owen Valley. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and tip-off at 7:30 for the black and blue game on the hardwood. John Callahan and Terry Stultz continuing the season of Stultz. Here on WGCL, we'll have the game for you. We'll
remember, the season of Stultz doesn't know the calendar is rolled over. It just continues on.
We just keep
going. It's a school year type.
It's a celebration.
It's a school year type.
Tip one back and enjoy it.
That's exactly right.
333-2665 is a phone number. Hoosiers head up to Minnesota on Saturday noon, actually 12:30 rather, on BTN. Minnesota distinguishing themselves at this point as the worst team in the Big Ten, and it's probably not even all that close.
Nope, it's not.
Rutgers isn't very good either, but Nebraska's beating them both, and beating them both by multiple points and just beating the hell out of them. So Nebraska stepping out of there a little bit. But as you said, I mean, you've got to win the games that you're supposed to win, especially against the teams that look as down as those teams do. And if they win three out of the three that they're supposed to, that's what they're supposed to do, but they got to do it.
They have to do it. And the interesting thing is how they're going to react, because last year, Indiana was, 4-1 in the league, had one of those games like they did against Ohio State against Maryland, where they blew the Terrapins completely out of the water.
Played a great game.
And they were 5-1 in the league and finished 9-9, correct? Mm-hmm. So they went 4-9 in their last however many games that was, and then that's or 4-8 or whatever. However you get to 9, you're the math guy here. It wasn't a good finish. They finished the year 5-10. They didn't handle success very well. We've seen an Indiana team, Dave, that you've mentioned accurately, who has maybe won a couple road games with not their best stuff or the best style of basketball they like, but they found a way to get the results. Is that a sign of growth? I think Saturday is going to show us where this team is. If this team comes out and struggles and starts throwing the ball over the court, throwing the ball out of bounds, dribbling off their foot, putting their head down and doing things that we've seen in the past that maybe haven't led to good things. I'm not saying that's going to stop completely, but what have you learned? How do you handle success? Because let's be fair, there hasn't been a whole lot of it to handle this year and in general. And with a team like Minnesota who's playing for their life, they're going to say that every week. It's a scalp. Indiana's a big name in college basketball. It's a big name in your arena, it's a big name on your schedule. Minnesota has a completely different outlook on this. But what Indiana, I want to see business. I want to see that energy. I want to see them get after it and take advantage of the opportunity created by this winning streak.
Well, let's be fair here. We hope, everyone hopes that what we saw against Ohio State is the way they're going to approach games and come out of the locker room at. I mean, the whole 30-point halftime, I mean, you got to be realistic. But the approach, the attitude, the intensity, the hustle, all those sorts of things is how you want this team to play. But we haven't seen that be consistent for this team.
Nope.
What we have seen is that when this team watches tape on teams that it is clearly better than, it comes out a little bit more lackadaisical and has stretches in the game where it becomes lackadaisical and lets those teams either back in it or close enough that you go, what in the heck? So is that going to be what this Indiana team does when they see how bad Minnesota is on tape and they go up there? Difference being, of course, you're on the road, so it might bite you in the butt. This team has to have, I think you put it exactly right, a business-like approach. It has to approach this as, we have to bring that every time. And it's got a couple guys that haven't brought that every time and are known for not bringing it every time. So are they going to have a different approach, as you say, 2 days up in Minnesota because they're leaving early this time around? Is that going to be their approach or not? I think it's a telling game from the standpoint of their approach and their approach only, because they certainly should win the game.
You get a different whistle on the road. You get a different bounce on the rims. You get a different bounce off that old floor up there. It's not as easy as playing in your own backyard. We talked in football. If being close to Ohio State in the second half and having that 4th and 9 pass from Diamant with a chance to tie the game, if that was going to be Indiana's highlight of the year, we concluded accurately, I think, in my opinion, that was not going to be a very successful year.
Correct.
It didn't turn out to be. It turned out to be the road win at Maryland, the road win at Purdue,
finishing up well, winning the bucket.
Games you had to win to get to a bowl game, they did it. Mm-hmm. The Indiana game with Ohio State, I don't want to take anything away from the kids' effort, but I want to take something, the fans, it's coming through. Ohio State was 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
They're a nice team.
Oh, was,
they're not a top five Ohio State team.
It was a great performance for this group that we weren't sure if they'd have
that
kind of performance in that way.
The performance was excellent.
Well, does it mean the next game or the next four games? We don't know that.
That's right, because last year, we can sit here and say it accurately, the win over Maryland, the win over Maryland where they played a game like that and won by 18 or 20, that was the highlight of the season.
They turned around. It was a tough schedule in there. They lost at Ohio State. They lost at Purdue, but it was double digits both times. They beat Rutgers. They lost at Wisconsin, who was obviously very very good, but again, by 14.
Sure, but they lost at Maryland after being embarrassed. Exactly they lost right. at home to Michigan State without Brandon Dawson. They lost at home to Iowa.
Bring that same attitude every
right.
game.
They got a taste of it, and right. they didn't know how to handle it or do with it. Right. So now the next step is, can they grow out of it? And that's going to be the proof that you look for, because coming home to Illinois on Tuesday night, Illinois showed you against Purdue on Sunday, Dave, they're a two-man team. They have some supporting cast, but if you slow down the two guards that got Purdue for 50-something, that's not a hard recipe. Northwestern then comes to town next weekend. That three-game spurt right here of 0-5 Minnesota, 1-whatever Illinois, and I think Northwestern is now 2-3 in the league, 2-2 in the league. They beat Nebraska. They won last night at home with Wisconsin. Northwestern doesn't have Alex
Northwestern
Ola.
Is 3-2.
Ola didn't even play last
beat
night.
Wisconsin last night.
Again, they got heavy
Illinois
guard
Illinois 1-3 in the Big Ten.
So, again, this is not the grinder of at East Lansing, home Maryland,
exactly
at Ann Arbor. These are things that good teams will win these games and start moving in the direction of great. Sitting here next Wednesday, and we're talking about a split with Minnesota and Illinois, whatever combination it is, Dave, and those questions are probably going to come up again. Where was the intensity? Where was that? Because here's what I think. This is so Indiana-driven, not opponent-driven, that they are in control of doing this.
Well,
it's not about what Minnesota's going to do to them.
It's because they are clearly more talented and in better spots than all three of these next three teams.
You can argue that.
Northwestern could very well give this team a hell of a game here at Assembly Hall. Because they can shoot it. They're a nice team. They've been building to something. If they get Ola back, that's a tough test against for Thomas Bryant.
And he's played here every year.
But the next two, you're exactly right. Illinois's got some athletes. They remind me at least a little bit of Nebraska. A couple guys that can score and a bunch of guys just run around and can jump.
Illinois
are going to try to out-tough you.
I think Illinois is a little tougher than Ohio State, and the record's not going to show it. Ohio State has better depth and better total
and better talent.
Illinois has got
great talent.
Illinois has got two better players.
Yeah, that's true.
Those two scores for Illinois would step in and take every shot on Ohio State.
Yeah.
Loving doesn't score. Cam Williams comes off the bench.
Outside of maybe Lyle, but you're exactly right. Lyle,
that's a very fair point. Lyle,
he's still
29
up and down
on the road in a Big Ten game.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Absolutely.
I don't care if he's blown out. Somebody's got to score. He got 29. That's a huge, huge number. So Indiana stuff is about Indiana. When you play Minnesota, Dave, and Minnesota comes out and runs their offense, and you choose not to play hard, you're not playing hard because it's Minnesota's offense.
Well,
that's a you thing that you have to have that fire burn inside yourself to play. It shouldn't be reactionary. It shouldn't be down tended to before a switch flips.
There's something we have to keep in mind here,
too. That's the next step in the growth for me.
333-2665 is the phone number. Minnesota is not very good. We have established that. When you watch tape, again, this team is going to watch tape on them. They're going to see they're not very good. How do they react to that? More importantly, Minnesota and Patino, they like to get up in you. They like to press you a bit. They like to make you run around. They like to try to force turnovers. And what is one of the biggest bugaboos of this particular team right now is getting loosey-goosey with the ball and giving the ball up. If they go up there and turn it over 23 times again, like they did at Rutgers, they could very easily sneak out, but that would not be the kind of performance you want to see out of them out there.
Luckily.
I think it's unrealistic to expect that if that kind of pressure comes, they're going to be perfect against it.
Nope.
Because that is a bugaboo of theirs. But they've got to be better than they were against the Rutgers team if you're looking at, I think, some real growth out of them.
If you don't see guys crashing the defensive boards, if you don't see guys diving on the floor until you're down and trailing and the switch flips, that's a step that's not been achieved yet, and that's what you have to watch. Looking at Minnesota's, you have it in front of you, they gave up how many points to Northwestern last Saturday?
Bear with me.
82, 85.
They've been giving up a ton of
that's
points.
That's the point. And what does Indiana love to do? Score.
They gave up 84 at Nebraska. They gave up 77 to Northwestern in the barn. 86 at Penn State.
Even better. Penn State? Got 86?
At Penn State.
So Indiana, this is a game that you would look at and say, if they can't hold Indiana under 55.
The South Dakota teams scored 84 and 85 against them in the barn.
There you go. So the Hoosiers, Dave, now we've told you and painted the picture why they should win. There's no way Minnesota has enough scoring to get in with Indiana and run with them. The Hoosiers have way too much firepower. But there's always that one little thing in the back of your mind in college basketball. What is that, Dave? The three-point shot.
Yeah,
all it takes is one guy to knock in five or six of them in one half, and all of a sudden you've got a battle on your hands. Bring that intensity. Bring the offense you normally bring. And I think we're sitting here on Monday dissecting a very quick Indiana victory.
Absolutely. That's what Hoosier fans definitely want to see. No messing around up in the barn, which is not something you'd be able to say a lot over the years. That's for sure. But this is one of those years you certainly could. Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. We turn it over to football when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. Programming notes for you. Again, we've got high school basketball Friday night starting at 7 o'clock with Chalk Talk. And then tip off at 7:30, Edgewood at Owen Valley for the big black and blue game out there in Spencer. On Saturday, we turn it over to the NFL starting at 4 o'clock for pregame of Kansas City at New England, and followed in the evening by Green Bay at Arizona. And then the festivities start at noon, actually make it 12:30 on Sunday. Seattle at Carolina, and then following that, Pittsburgh at Denver, as we are in the divisional round. Everybody finally on the docket in the NFL playoffs. Before we get there and talk a little bit about some of those games over the weekend, there was a national championship game on Monday after we got off the air, and I think we all kind of hoped it would be a dandy game, and it was a dandy game. 40 points scored in the final stanza, and some brave calls both directions, all directions, some fantastic special teams play on both ways, and some playmaking. It's no other way to put it. Some big plays. It had just about everything for
you. Yeah, it did, and even some crappy officiating at the end of the first half. So you had everything from the college football buffet line. Hopefully you filled your plate up and stayed up late enough to catch what happened. I checked out after the touchdown to make it 45-33. I couldn't.
That was good enough.
If I would have stayed up, I know Clemson would have got the onside kick. And there's some. I couldn't.
Be up all night long.
I couldn't physically handle any of that. So when Alabama scored, I wasn't going to sit around and wait for it. But fair play to Clemson to close out the game. Las Vegas players that had Clemson plus seven sure appreciated that last effort in the last 2 minutes of the game. But it was a tale of two games, really. And for me, Deshaun Watson's really, really good, and Clemson is really, really good as well. I couldn't believe how many players got hurt in that game. You would think after 12 days
off. They came up with a couple of those guys banged up to begin
with. They did, but just, I mean, big players getting hurt. And the guy, the number 10, the linebacker for Clemson, they got the arm thing. You know, he's hurt.
He ended up coming back in the game. The corner.
Walking around like this.
You know, one of the key plays.
Alexander?
Yeah, the key play of the game was a play that the corner got caught in. The replacement corner got caught inside. O.J. Howard goes down the sideline to get him into position again.
Again, O.J. Howard. Oh, who? Yeah, that's what Lane Kiffin will do to you. He's proven his chops as a big-time
coordinator. Well, in Alabama also, let's be fair, because this guy's he's a huge talent coming in, and they haven't just used him all that much, and all of a sudden, the first two TDs of the year.
You know what Alabama also doesn't use very much? An onside kick.
That's exactly
and they did
right.
that. So they pulled out all the stops, and that's why man has five national championships in what? 9 years or something ridiculous. I don't know. 04 LSU, 03 LSU.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Don't even do it. You'll just get upset.
It's 4-7. It's just at Alabama.
Yeah.
You got the one at LSU before that.
He did.
That's insane.
He did. But the thing about the game that I thought I noticed was when Watson stopped getting the run option in the second half, Clemson slowed down because they were moving the ball sharply and crisply. He made one bad throw, was intercepted, led to an Alabama touchdown.
Yeah.
But he was, I think, what did I hear? The final tally was he had 482 yards of offense when it was
405 passing, four touchdowns and one interception on 30 completions. He had 20 carries for 73 yards, so that is 482.
There you go. That's a special player, and I thought Clemson was good enough to win the game. I thought Alabama outplayed them in the big play department. They had the big interception. They had the onside kick.
Yeah, absolutely.
The two big passes to the tight end that were wide open.
A bunch of plays in the second half. So, I mean, you can't just say that Alabama out-talented them because, let's be fair here, Clemson played really, really well.
They did.
They made it hard for Alabama to run the ball between the tackles all day long. They lost a couple guys in coverage, and that really killed them, obviously, with some of those big plays.
I agree with you 100%. But in that big play department, I can't leave out Henry's 50-yard touchdown run.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
50 yards in one shot. Because after that, take that 50 yards out. I know that's not how the game's played. It's 35 carries for 100 yards.
No, exactly.
You can't ask for anything better than that.
That's
but
right.
What happens is it shows you, again, when you get in these situations and you have – look at Alabama's quarterback. He's a nice player. He's not on Deshaun Watson's level. But he throws for 300. He doesn't turn it over. He has the great 3rd-and-3 run bootleg at the goal line to get the first down.
I said they didn't trust him, you could see why. Because early in that game, he had one option, and when that option wasn't there, he freaked out and got sacked and hit over and over and over.
But he didn't.
Plays. Yeah. He didn't turn it over. He ate it if he had to. And you're right. That
third
down
was an unbelievable
near the goal
play.
Line when he gets the first down right there. That's a fantastic play. It's going against a defensive end that's been chasing you, hitting you all day long.
The kid had five sacks. tackles for loss.
But
in that
give
game.
Jake Coker credit. I didn't think he could win the game for him.
He put the brakes on.
He did a great
right
job for him.
And the other play, the big play was the last play to the tight end when it's third and whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's the Clemson guy in the backfield with his hand around his ankles, 5 yards in the backfield.
Right.
Slow him down.
Yeah.
You can't let him go for 60 yards down the sideline to kill the game off at the end.
Right.
So the big plays were the whole story in this game. And Clemson made a few of them. They made some big plays, but Alabama, we just rattled off five of them.
Yeah.
Five plays that ultimately decided the game. It took Alabama to score 45 points to win it. So give Clemson credit. I didn't know if Clemson's offense could keep up with Alabama's defense that long. They showed you everything you needed to know
Absolutely.
There. And how often do you have to see Nick Saban bring out a trick play to beat you? Something wasn't working. He had to change the momentum in that game, and it did. And when it happened, you kind of saw a little air go out of the Clemson balloon, but it didn't completely fall out. And again, it was a great football game. For a neutral, that was a fantastic game. And Clemson does have an argument at the end of the first half, and I think we need to talk about that, because the rule in college football is quite simple. When a first down is accomplished, the clock stops to move the chains.
Correct.
The clock cannot run while the chain guys are running.
Well,
there was two problems with that.
The clock ran twice. When he hit the ground, the clock went for two more seconds. That's
wrong
two
again.
Seconds when it's 15 seconds left in the half, and you've got a timeout.
Right.
That hurts to begin with. Then they start it too early, and you're trying to get something going. So they screwed them out of at least 5 seconds
and
right there and their timeout.
That's the key.
Which you could have gotten another
two shots,
at least one
closer.
Play. Minimum of one play.
Amen.
And maybe two. You're exactly
and the,
right.
And the key with the timeout, Dave, is
number
one, it's bad. Number two, the key with the timeout is any play.
Yeah.
You can run. You can throw a dump. You can run
exactly
a trick
right.
play. You can do anything to the middle of the field.
Instead, he had to use it when you could have been a spike or something like that. And you could not only had all those seconds back, but obviously keep the timeout in your pocket.
And run
any
play.
It's an awful play.
And then what happens?
Is it the referee or not? Look, somebody up in the booth has got the scoring, has got the clock on them. Somebody's got to get that right.
The side judge or whoever is in charge of keeping the time on the field has to walk out to the referee and say,
hey,
it's wrong.
Yeah.
Here's what it is. Get on the headset and say, please, how many times you hear during a game when nothing's going on?
Yeah, Pac-10.
Please present the game
Pac-10
clock to 12:03.
Referees once again.
But the problem is, it costs them momentum. It costs them 3 points. And guess what happens after they call that timeout to stop it? They have to kick a field goal the next play because they can't do anything
they're
else.
They're worried about not doing
they
something.
Wanted
right.
to get,
exactly
they
right.
wanted to try a chance at points there. And Dabo was right when he was running off the field. He said, hey, look, I'm disappointed, but we got to move on. But Dabo, my goodness, that you don't need that help. To play Alabama. Yeah. You don't need that going against you.
333-2665 is a phone
Figure
number.
Figure it out, guys. You're doing a national title game.
No, it's atrocious.
Figure it out.
And it's only 5 seconds, but again, the key and the timeout and
That's
where it is and where you are on the field
Huge.
And all those things is just it's an enormous mistake by the refereeing.
And college football can fix this.
And you can find a way to do it. There's no question. But look, the game's a 5-point game at the end of the day. I mean, there's two things that happen in this game that you say if Clemson
Huge.
Has those back,
Huge.
They probably win this game. And one is the interception by Deshaun Watson, which is about the only bad thing he did all day long.
Yep.
And for a long time, that was the difference in the game. I mean, for two and a half quarters, maybe even three, Clemson was dominating the line of scrimmage for the most part, especially when they were on defense. And a lot of people didn't think their defensive front was that good. I saw their defensive line live. I knew it was good. I didn't know it was quite that good and wasn't. I was concerned without Shaq Lawson being full health. He looked great. The other guy looked even better. I mean, that guy made himself a ton of money last
the
other night.
Yeah. And so did Reggie Ragland for Alabama. And the key was Dabo Swinney and Clemson, and for my money, were great. They couldn't run the football, so they stopped. Yeah.
Right.
They didn't even bother with it.
Or so just use Deshaun Watson.
And try to run Alabama off the field.
And you know what?
That's a great idea.
The only thing is for Clemson is that they couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of special weapons
on
that team other than Deshaun Watson.
Right.
They don't. They're nice players. Their best player of the night on offense other than Deshaun Watson was a walk-on wide receiver.
Yeah, he made some great catches.
Against the best defensive back on the field, no less.
And beat him a handful of times.
Exactly right. So they were missing that to begin with. That really hurt them.
Oh, and then throwing Alabama, their star wide receiver makes only one catch and it's for 45 yards down the sideline.
Yeah.
They make one big play on you.
Unbelievable play.
You have them, and boom, there's a 5-star kid running down the sideline.
Yep.
But would Clemson try to run Alabama's defense off the field? And that's a great way to do it because Alabama's usually good in these games because they get you off the field and they're fresh in the fourth quarter.
Right.
They run you and they smash you and they beat your head in all game long because you're trying to run. But with the quarterback and the kids made plays. You didn't see a lot of drop passes. Right. You didn't see a lot of sloppy penalties. It was a really, really good
really
football
good
game.
Yes, it was.
And I just wish the NCAA would have something in place moving forward from this point on that says in the last 2 minutes of a game, because there is no two-minute warning in college, you have to get these things right. So the referee has to have more leniency or leeway to do what the NFL did and say, hey, why is everybody yelling at me about the clock? Let me call somebody and say, did the clock run for an extra 7 seconds?
Yeah.
And it takes so – if you and I saw it in real time, it's not hard to fix that.
Well, and here's the other side of that. Give them the timeout back if,
yes,
if you figure that
all
out.
All the above. It should retroactively
exactly right.
go to that point. You're
exactly
right. Because you know why? That shouldn't decide football games.
No, that's
– that shouldn't do it.
Look,
the players should.
Deshaun Watson is the reason for the interception. So you can deal with that
yes.
because it is
he
the
made a bad decision and that's what happens.
But management of the game, you're exactly right. You can't have that be a deciding point.
And, that can't be what people talk
about. We don't
know.
Was it going to be 3 points? Could they got in the end zone? But the point is they could have.
They had
that,
no chance.
That is the whole point, is that they would have had more of a chance to do something.
They could have called
and you didn't let them have it.
They could have spiked it. They could have thrown a crossing route down to the 4 with 4 seconds left, 5 seconds left, taken one shot at the end zone, might have got it.
Look.
Or kicked the field. There are so many things that didn't get to happen.
They lost 5 or 6 seconds. They could have started that next play with 12 seconds and had their timeout in their back pocket. So they
timeout is the key.
They could have
that
done anything at that point and stopped the clock and still gotten at least a field goal out there, not to mention you could have gone to the end zone. So it was a well-played game. It's a shame we have to talk about refereeing once again in one of these things, but let's be fair. You know, when you talk about this game, in the end, it's going to be about the plays, the big plays that were made, the kickoff return by Kenyon Drake that was phenomenal. Something that got lost in this for a long time, I thought the Clemson punter was the second best player on the field. I'm dead serious about this. I mean, the guy was hitting everything you could believe. He was holding on to it long enough to let his guys down. It was field position game in the whole first half. I thought he was fantastic and, you know, for a long time. So you can talk about a lot of different guys that made big plays, and that's what you wanted out of this. You wanted a good game. You got a high-scoring, excited game because of the big plays. You got a well-played game. You didn't get a dog like the Alabama-Michigan State
game. Like every other
And that's
game.
What everybody wanted,
Stanford,
I think, is
Iowa.
Competitive. I think everybody is rightly a little bit surprised how well Clemson did physically. And if you watched them during the season, you know they were a better physical team than they were a playmaking team. And we're used to seeing Clemson have a lot of playmakers, and while you would there big plays. In this game, it was the opposite. It wasn't so much about their playmakers. It was about how they physically competed against Alabama.
And they did. It made for great theater, and that was good that we finished the college football season like that. And a big shout-out to Arkansas for getting their 4th-and-29 against Ole Miss. Or Ole Miss.
To let
Alabama in it. It's funny how that works. Mm-hmm. And anybody that says, I'm not real crazy about the 4-team playoff or whatever it is, weird things happen every year because sports are the greatest reality television going. You have to have some things. And when it works out this way, remember last year, Alabama had a 21-6 lead on Ohio State, and everybody said that game was over.
Dominating them.
But you know what everybody forgets? It was a semifinal game.
Yep.
This year's games, semifinal games,
not so much.
But can't be perfect every single year. And I don't think anybody can argue about how good of a finish that game was. That game was ultra competitive for 57 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when you get a 12-point lead, who cares what happens in the last 2 minutes? That's not going to bother anybody.
Yep, but you got your national champion.
Four titles in 7 years.
Alabama Crimson Tide, and there are legitimate conversations about Nick Saban and history.
In college football, where with
exactly
who?
Exactly right, yeah.
who's arguing
completely
that?
Legitimate. We got to take a quick break. Goodness. We'll talk NFL when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming notes again. Friday night, high school basketball back on the airwaves. Edgewood at Owen Valley for the Black and Blue game. Chalk Talk 7 o'clock and tip-off at 7:30. John and Terry will have the call on Friday night. And then Saturday and Sunday, we have the NFL divisional round of the playoffs. Starts you off on Saturday, 4 o'clock pregame, 4:30 kickoff. Kansas City at New England, followed in the evening by Green Bay at Arizona. And then on Sunday, 12:30 is your pregame for Seattle at Carolina. And then a little after that, Pittsburgh at Denver.
So. A Manning guy is going to play quarterback on Sunday afternoon, so we'll see what's happening there. One little basketball update for you. I just ran into this stat. We're talking about Northwestern and how their season is, why they're a week from Saturday here at the Assembly Hall. 3-2, best five-game start since 67-68, yep. Best 18-game overall start since 45-46, and a 4-0 start in true road games for only the second time in school history, which is interesting because they will be on the road here a week from Saturday. So just a little basketball nugget there before we dive into the football. Well, you wanted matchups. This is why people say this is the best weekend of the NFL. Why? All the number ones and twos are back, and everybody else had to prove their worth the week before. There's no 7-9 division teams.
And oh, by the way, they all won on the road already.
With experienced big-time quarterbacks. And guess what they run into? Experienced big-time quarterbacks for the most part. And New England and Tom Brady, don't have to tell you anything about the Patriots. You know all about that. Carson Palmer has been around. He hasn't won a ton of games in the playoffs, but he's been in them. And Bruce Arians is always going to have something cooked up. How bad did Arizona beat Green Bay a few weeks ago in Arizona by about 150?
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah, and about halfway through, about 2 minutes into the third quarter, I remember the guy saying, well, Green Bay could possibly be back here in 2 weeks.
38-8.
I don't know how much more you're going to see from the Green Bay. And they were right. They nailed it bang on there. So, again, captivating storylines. That's just on Saturday to get things going. And I think the most interesting team of the weekend, I want to get your opinion on this. Tell me if I'm wrong. By far and away for me, it's the Carolina Panthers. It's not even close who the most interesting team is. They have a very tough challenge in the battle-tested Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
The good news is they have home field. The bad news is they might not have the experience and depth in the playoffs you'd like to see at this level. And Ron Rivera's been a good coordinator, Dave, but he hasn't been a guy that's been through these playoff ringers either, and that makes me a little nervous.
Carolina is the one team you look at as maybe having the toughest road here. I don't know about that. But, look, here's the thing. What you said is correct.
Green Bay or Arizona, if they win,
you don't know how they're going to react to the environment. They have been awfully good physically, and what do I tell you all the time? Football is still a physical game. You want playmakers, they've got playmakers, but they are a physical team with a defense, but you are exactly right. They're going to go up against a physical team with a defense. Who makes the plays? Is it Cam Newton? Is it Russell Wilson? Is there a special teams play to be made? It's an intriguing game, and it ought to be fun because it's more old school. I will throw this at you, though, too. New England looks like the bully to a lot of people out there, certainly in the AFC,
Left
and has
home.
For years. That team is beat up front. They really
they are.
Tom Brady is getting hit and hit hard, and Kansas City is really good up front on defense. So that's
and
one to watch out on.
In a row.
That is one to watch out for right there, is they can walk in there and they can slap people around a little bit. And with a beat-up offensive line, I mean, New England's going to have to find a way to deal with that, because that Kansas City defense is no joke.
The one thing that gets you, if you're a Carolina watcher, supporter, or want to see what happens, that team for me is too emotionally jacked up. If things start going south, they are really – when things are going well, Dave, you know who's winning the game.
They've got some guys.
They're not as
bad as Cincinnati,
their
but
quarterback
you're exactly right.
is the leader of that pack.
They can be a little up and down.
And if that's what gets them going, that's fine. But as we always talk about on this program – it's really easy to tell me what goes well when you're ahead.
Sure.
You got to tell me what you do when things aren't going the right direction. And when you don't have that emotion and you don't have that home crowd to lean on, when Seattle comes out and Russell Wilson's you to death, and next thing you know it's 17-3 and late in the third quarter and you're wondering, geez, what's happened? Where is all the emotion? Why is the building quiet? I always get a little nervy. When teams have that mantra, when teams lean on that until they win something, what was the biggest deal Pete Carroll did at Seattle when it got started? The 12th man.
Yeah.
And you could talk about the 12th man till you're blue in the face. You're 7-9, you stink.
Sure.
Until you figure out how to harness that and win with
and
use it, I don't want to hear about it. So the step for Carolina that's going to be very interesting to take is, can they handle having this time off? Can they handle being the one seed? Can they handle all of this coming to their front door? Because the matchup they have is the worst one of it all.
Because
anybody else, you give them a better shake.
Because Green Bay's got maybe the most difficult quarterback
and
to stop out
there a little
I mean,
bit
to be
ago,
fair,
too.
They all are hard, but Aaron Rodgers can make some plays, but they're beat up. Their offensive line stinks. You know, they're a shell of themselves. If you got a choice between Seattle and Green Bay right now, you want Green Bay. I know Aaron Rodgers is the guy, but
if you have any question about Russell Wilson, the snap's over his head. It's third and a mile in freezing temperature. He picks the ball up, avoids a sack, and throws it 25 yards down the field.
Everybody's going to talk about
the
interception in the Super Bowl, but Russell Wilson doesn't make a lot of bad plays, and he makes a lot of good ones when he needs to make a good play.
How about
the Hail
Mary last year to get to the Super Bowl?
Exactly.
I mean, think of all the plays he makes. He is not dead till there's triple zeros on the clock because he has the belief now that he can do those things.
They might get their running back this week,
too. And Marshawn Lynch is going to make the trip, from what I understand. But Carolina is too emotionally high and low for me. I think they don't have that mentality because they haven't been there to figure out when to turn it up a little bit, Cam Chancellor style, and when to turn it down a little Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson style.
Do we see the letdown of a team like Denver, which unfortunately is, when people talk about Peyton Manning, they're going to talk about maybe the greatest of all times, but in the playoffs, they're going to talk about some real disappointments.
That game could be 12-7.
Yeah.
That's
exactly right.
Pittsburgh's offense is beaten up.
Pittsburgh
they have no
beat
running
them in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago.
They have the quarterback's hurt. Yeah. I don't care what he tells you. You don't leave the field in a playoff game and come back. And he's got arm problems. Manning's got problems. The best thing that can happen if you're a Denver fan, and you know what, bring it on, is Manning gets knocked out in the first series of the game and you have to put Osweiler in. Because they're not going to pull him out. They're not going to pull Manning out because of performance,
I don't know,
Dave. They're not going to do it.
I don't think it's because of Manning.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to pull him out because of poor performance. They're not going to do it.
But who says he's going to have a poor performance? They put him in the last, when they needed a clinch.
Yes.
And because Osweiler wasn't doing anything.
22 yards,
And he didn't have great stats, as you pointed out. But what he did have is he did have the respect of the defense. They had to back off a bit.
Yep.
And everything worked a lot better the minute he got into that game. Home game. We will see out there. Certainly Big Ben. I mean, again, the Pittsburgh Steelers are always the tougher team in this matchup.
Period.
Is the Denver defense going to show up the way they did most of the season? The last couple of years, we keep talking about the Denver defense not making it when they needed to. This year, it was really good.
Yeah.
Will it be really good when it needs it to? Because, again, so much of this is going to be defense. The Arizona defense is really good.
Yes.
New England's defense is keeping
Arizona
them in games when, they,
in
when they're
sacks,
not doing
right?
as well. Exactly. I mean, Kansas City's defense is what's traveling. Seattle's defense, you know about. Carolina, everybody talks about Cam Newton, but it's about their defense as much as anything else.
I don't think Denver is balanced enough to win, and I don't.
I don't think
Pittsburgh has enough weapons besides Antonio Brown to win the game, and that's why 12-7 that would not surprise me one bit. But if you get a bunch of turnovers and the ball starts flying all over the place, and you get sacks and fumbles. 38-35, that's why you tune in and watch, and that's why 28 million people tune in every weekend to watch it. And you'll tune in here with us, as we'll have all the playoffs for you, starting Saturday pregame at 4 and Sunday, 12:30 pregame for the doubleheaders, the best weekend in professional football.
And don't forget high school basketball Friday night, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, Edgewood at Owen Valley, a grudge match out there. John and Terry will have it for you. We will be back Monday to wrap up all of this and the Hoosiers' trip up to Minnesota. So join us on Monday, won't you? You've been in the zone.